Blog Talk Radio.
Turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end. Let's call it a night. The party's over, and tomorrow's what a crazy, crazy party. Never seen so many people laughing, dancing. Look at you, you're having fun. But look at me, I'm almost crying. But that don't keep her love from dying. Misery calls for me, the party's over. Turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end. Let's call it a night. The party's over, and tomorrow's start the same old thing again.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Today is Saturday, April 23rd, and the off season has begun. But at least, you know, this year, last year we had that miserable ending in Philadelphia, and we started our season, the post game show, with taps because it felt like a death. I don't know, Eddie. Good evening, Eddie. And it doesn't feel like that. I think the most of the Ranger fans, at least the realistic ones, know that, you know, that better days are ahead for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you the truth, I'm bummed. I'm just bummed that the Rangers season's over. There's no more Ranger games. This hockey, and I'll watch the rest of the series, you know, playoffs, because I'm a hockey fan. I'm glad that hockey's still on. And I think every Ranger fan, whoever the Caps play, is going to become a super-duper anti-Caps fan. But I think it was evident that the Rangers, I mean, the Caps are a lot more along in the process of, you know, being a playoff team than the Rangers are. Rangers play hard, especially the Avery Boyle Press line played their hearts out today. And I think, you know, we're in the beginning of that process, you know, with the youth. And, you know, some of those cliches, they're right, you know. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You know those kind
this
of things.
This too shall pass.
This too shall pass.
Or in the Rangers case, this too shall cross ice pass.
Yes.
This too shall drop pass.
Yeah. So whether it's Tampa Bay or Buffalo that plays the Capitals, I'm seeing in the chat room, I will be rooting against it. But it just showed the Rangers' lack of firepower. And, you know, as much as Edzo and, you know, Dr. Doolittle there and the creepy McGuire, as much as they will, and I got to say, I thought Edzo and Old Chick and McGuire were pretty good in kind of like giving the Rangers their props, you know. But I thought McGuire was kind of going goofy, and I thought actually all of them went goofy. Really, I'm going to retract that. They were goofy on how great the Caps have made strides. They really didn't face a team. Now, listen, I don't know how much credit I give to the Caps, but the Rangers really didn't put any, you know, offense really on except for that second period in Game 4. And I don't know if it's the Caps defense, but the only thing that makes me say that is that we've seen that Ranger offense sputter all year like that at times. But that's a little bit of sour grapes because I don't like to see them lauding the other team. But, yes, you're right. I think it's a stepping stone. It's hard to take right now. I felt extremely bad for Lundqvist. He really looked like he was taking it the hardest on the bench. He played fantastic the whole series. Anybody who criticizes him is, you know, they got a couple screws loose.
A fool.
You're a fool because Henrik Lundqvist is
or starved for attention.
The guy is just, I feel so bad for him because he really deserves better fates than he gets, you know? And you got to give it, you got to give the guy credit. He's such a competitor that, you know, he just hangs in there year after year of the party's over. And so I give him a lot of, you know, without critiquing the game and critiquing the series, just on, you know, pride. I'm proud that they fought to the end. They really did not stop, you know, until they – I'm so glad they broke the shutout. I know it's a little – it's a small pittance, but I was just – didn't want to see them get shut out by that guy. And that guy, I'm sorry, I think he played his best game tonight, today, this afternoon, actually, B.B. Neubert. But if he faces anybody that can lift the puck or make a pass, a lateral pass in the offensive zone down low, it is – he's going to be bombed. So, learning process, you know, still, it's tough to swallow, especially with those fans chanting. But, you know, you want to say shove it up your, you know, what's, but, you know, if you're going to give, you got to learn to take in this world. You know, if you're going to dish it out and have a big mouth, which they started, and then we got him, and it was a tit for tat. The only thing I don't understand is the chanting of Lundqvist, like, they were getting under his skin, like, you know, like, I mean, that all started with, like, Hextall, you know.
Right.
So, you know, when Hextall, he was a total head case, and if you got under his skin, so to speak, you could rattle him. But to go to a guy, a goalie who should have been nominated for the Vezina, I'm not sure we'll talk about that later, apparently he wasn't as good enough as the incomparable Pekka-Rinne, who I know was a good goalie, but, you know, come on, Henrik had 11 shutouts. I mean, so I'm proud of all of them. You know, I'm just proud for a good season. They never stop working. And I just think that just not that as far along in the process.
That's yeah. And, you know, we talked about it a lot during the season, especially, you know, especially when things were going pretty well for them. You know, part of being successful, you know, sometimes we said this a couple of times, sometimes better to be lucky than be good. You know, we saw the Rangers get a lot of bounces that go their way during the season. We saw a lot of, you know, little things that kind of went their way, worked in their favor, and it's the reason, part of the reason why they got to where they were. And in this series, a lot of those bounces didn't go the Rangers' way. You know, a lot of, and I'm not just blaming it on stupid stuff like that, but you need a little bit of luck. I mean, look at the goals the Capitals scored in this series. I mean, the goal, the first goal today just kind of trickles through Dan Girardi's legs in the crease. And to get off topic for a second on Girardi, I can't say enough about Dan Girardi. I'm sorry. That guy could play for my team any day. He is a warrior out there. Any day he could play. Same thing goes for Ruslan Fedotenko.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I'd have him back
the two of
in
them
a heartbeat next year.
Absolute warriors in this series. I mean, Dan Girardi, I mean, that poor guy's going to need to sit in a whirlpool for 2 months with those hot rocks on his back. He's going to be in so much
– oh,
he's going to be so sore. He's, I mean, any day he could play for my team. Any day.
And Ruslan Fedotenko, I mean, he's a big-time player. He's serious. When in a playoff, he's a serious player.
So, but anyway, so getting back to what I was saying, you know, I mean, look at the goals the Caps scored in this whole series. How many of them were just lucky bounces, fluke goals? You know, those bounces don't go the Caps' way here and there, and the Rangers don't go, God, I don't know what it was by the time, 1-for-16 on the power play, and, you know, we're coming back for game 6 at least, you know, on Monday. This series might be over in the Rangers' favor. Who knows? It was a very closely contested series, I think. And, you know, the Rangers, they don't have the firepower to compete with the Capitals. And,
no,
you know,
they
at
don't.
The times when they needed a big goal, I found myself always sitting there not thinking, okay, this one's got to come up big here and get a goal. I kept thinking, okay, we need like a lucky bounce deflection type goal here because that's the only way we're getting one at this point, you know. Somebody takes a shot from the point and just kind of deflects it off of somebody. You know, the biggest player on the team, well, who's not a goaltender, didn't show up for most of the series. That, you know, that doesn't help. And I think we'll save next week when we start our off-season stuff for discussing his future with this team. As far and you know, a lot of the rest of the guys, but you know, we got. I don't know what else to say. I'm still proud of them. I said it before on Facebook. This was a far more gratifying season than I expected. You know, I had hopes that you know they would have done a little better this year, but you know, it would not have surprised me to have seen them finish 10th or 11th. You know, whatever. Because it wasn't this season. I don't think it was ever about this season. So now we move on. Now, you know, next season starts tomorrow for us.
Right. And I don't know. When I look back at it, you know, we were talking about, wow, the Rangers team is made for the playoffs. Why? Because they have a good goalie and they have good defense. So why wasn't this series closer? It was actually close. Like you said, except for some bounces, there was two overtime games in it, you know. I just think that, and the just on the coaching, I'm not playing the blame game. I'm just doing an analytical thing. One good thing about Tortorella is he never lost his cool with the players. He was even-tempered. This is a drastic difference, you know, compared to the first time they were in the playoffs with him. Drastic difference, which was, you know, very commendable. But there was never, to me, there was never an adjustment made about the defenseman joining the play and getting in there and trying to make things happen. His game plan was, we're going to play exactly the same way that got us here. We're not going to veer from the path. This is exactly how. And when you find it doesn't work, and, you know, there were some lucky goals, but I really would have liked, and this also can be part of the Rangers' youth on defense because they're very young and they're very defensively conscious, you know, and maybe not the most skilled guys offensively yet because they're young or they may not be the most offensively gifted guy. We all know Dan Girardi is not the most offensively gifted guy, but he's, you know, he's a great defenseman. I really, it came down, and they did make a big point of it during the game, and I had said it in the last broadcast about the Rangers defenseman taking chances and joining the play and being that odd guy. I just thought there wasn't an adjustment or a, okay, this isn't working, let's try something different. But I think the Rangers really believe so much in their system that that's what got them there. That this is what they're going to do, and they probably felt, listen, we've basically been sticking with these guys for five games, you know, four games here. Let's see what happens. But I think we all agree, you know, in hindsight, and we all tried to fluff it aside, and, you know, that game four, three-goal comeback by the Caps, it's really sunk the Rangers.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, they tried. I mean, they tried. I just think it really took, you know, a lot out of them. I don't know. I mean, that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it's understandable. I mean, you know, the Rangers, you know, kind of played a good solid game in for a good portion of game four, got the lead. You know, we're able to get some pucks in the net, and then it did. They lost. They gave up the lead. They lost in overtime. And it's got to take something out of you. I mean, they're thinking, you know, we finally crack a couple of goals here, and you know, we get a little offense going. You know, for what it was worth, and it, you know, and we played hard. And it wasn't good enough. You know, and it's got to take something out of you. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but you know, it is what it is. It took the wind out of their sails. I had two scenarios for today, and I posted on Blue Shirt Banner earlier. I said one of two things is going to happen. I said, one, they're going to once again stand in the face of adversity and find a way to win this game. Or two, they're going to get blown out of the building. And they really didn't. I mean, you know, the Caps came out the first 10 minutes of the game just swarming, and I expected that. The crowd was into it. That stupid air horn was blowing. The Caps had all the momentum going into the game. So you knew there was going to be that early onslaught, and they got that goal. But, you know, they survived the first period. They were only down 1-0. And then it kind of got away from him after that. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know? That's right, Jim. You were wrong. Thanks, Amy.
Yeah. Well, it looks like, you know, it looked like the Rangers had hit the reset button on the whole series. They actually got dominated more than they did in the first period of the first game. They looked like they really were on their heels. But they kind of wormed themselves. They staved off a blowout. And they killed a couple penalties there, and you know they hung around, but they don't have they're like a fighter who kind of hangs around, but they don't have the knockout punch, you know?
Right.
You know, and that's how they played. I thought in this series, they just couldn't finish them off. They couldn't finish. I just didn't think. You know, I'm sure in the coming weeks we'll have all summer to talk about which players we thought stunk to join up or were need to go, but I don't really want to dwell on that. I'm sure everybody has, you know, their faves and what happened. But you're right. And then when Ovechkin scored, I mean, that was a beautiful goal. I mean, to beat a goaltender like Henrik Lundqvist with that kind of shot. I mean, I hate that toothless Frankenstein bastard. And I hate that bald bastard. Everybody's bald on that team. Erskine's a bald eagle. They should call them the bald eagles over there.
Yeah. And bring back their old logo, right?
Tavares bald. The coach is bald. I bet you Ovechkin's vagina is bald. I mean, you know. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Alex. Sour grapes. I'm in a bad mood. You're a hell of a player, but it's not a good time for me right now. Bad time of the month when the Rangers lose. It's playoffs. It's April. Well, but we got to look at the positives, Jimmy. We made the playoffs. We got in there. We wanted a learning experience. I mean, you know, we got some extra three periods of hockey in a five-game series. So, you know, 18 periods of playoff hockey for the young guys, by
exactly.
My calculations.
Better days to come. Better days to come. So, phone lines are jammed. Are you ready to go to the phones? Or?
Sure.
You got anything? Okay. We'll get right to the phone.
Now, we were got there on time, and we just couldn't find a fit with him. So just that's an excuse that we can use. So,
Robbie, are you there?
Jim?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Here, I got to get this out before. Look, I've been calling into this show for over a calendar year now, like I said. And I can't think of it.
Robbie, don't jump.
This was it. This is the thing I was going to tell you. Listen, I can't thank you guys enough, okay? You guys are literally like heroes. I told you.
Come on.
Middleport. What?
We're not heroes.
Doing a goofy radio.
We're just two guys that like to talk on the radio.
No. You guys
cheer
me up when I'm down.
We're not heroes.
You guys, I'm telling you. Thank you for everything.
Well, thank you to Newman.
Thank you to Claude. Thank you to Eva. Thank you to everyone. Like the Rangers said, I salute my fellow blue shirts.
What are you saying? Goodbye? What are you jumping off the bridge? What are you doing?
Just thank you for a good season. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we're not going anywhere.
We'll
be back on the air a week from Monday. We're going to take a week off. My son's here. I'm going to have some fun with him. We're going to go visit some schools. We're going to get him settled in. He's moving out here in June. We're going to take a week off. We're going to recharge our batteries. We'll be right back with you May 2nd. Robbie, don't go anywhere. I'm not even sure I want you to get off the phone with me right now. I feel like Howard Stern when a guy called in for the George Washington Bridge.
Anyway, tough loss. Obviously, I'm going to stay with the team, but you know what? I thank you for a good season, and thank you for cheering me up when I'm down, and thank you for...
Bobby, this is the Massachusetts Police Department. Please, we're sending up a negotiator. Please.
Robbie, don't worry about it, man. Wow.
He's bummed. Wow. Come on, Robbie. 17.
Come on.
Relax, Robbie.
I know. Jeez.
Jeez, I feel like I got to call him off the air now or something. Oh. I was trying to keep
He reminds me when I was 27. I had the same experience. I don't know. I mean,
Zach.
On the heroes comments, send us some heroes. Hook us up some Subway. Heroes, yes. And As my mother used to say it with money, Robbie. How about throwing us a check? How about cutting us a check? Have mom and dad cut us a check. Don't worry about it, Robbie. It's your first rodeo. For people in this room and listening and at home, this is not the first time we've been at this rodeo where we got bucked off a Bronco. This ain't the first time. I'm telling you. You learn to laugh. You know? You get Ranger callous from this, these losses. And you always can take it out.
Ranger callous.
You get a Ranger callous to this stuff.
Hey.
Hey, you know what you do when you're a loser? You pick on the bigger losers, which are the Devils and the Islanders. They didn't even make the playoffs. So we always got that over them for next year. Right, guys? Got to look at the bright side. We ain't the biggest loser on the block.
Mario said, get used to it, kid. You have a lifetime of this ahead of you. Maybe he should jump.
He said, I got saddle burns. I've been on this rodeo so long. So, I guess more callers. I'll tell you, last time when we lost, those guys cheered me up. By the end of the show, I wasn't feeling bad.
I listened back to that show yesterday at work. That was a funny show. It was good. We had a good time. In spite of it all, we're having a good time. All right, I think this is Costa. Costa, is that you?
Yeah. What's up?
What's going on?
What's up? Did Mike Green come back into the game?
I don't think so. He just went in on the bench, I think, for the third.
Good. I'm glad he got hurt.
Yeah, because you're not supposed to. I agree with you.
Hey, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm glad he got hurt. Would you take a puck to the head for $5.25 million?
Sure.
I'll
take one to the nuts for that money.
Thank you. And what have I said over and over and over again?
Capitals winning is good for business.
Thank you very much. So,
but do you think there were any blown calls? That game was actually decently officiated, not like the rest of them.
Well, I thought Henrik got run into once or twice.
Yeah, he did get run. Mike Green, with that mohawk, when you block a shot, try not to do it with your face. That's how you wind up with injuries, this freaking...
Yeah. Especially a guy trying to come back from a head injury.
Yeah, he's leading with his face. Dumbass. See the screws come off his freaking helmet? That was nasty. They showed it on the replay. The screws flew off as that puck hit. So, yeah, you're right, Costa. The last show, you said, I'm hoping they do it, but I don't think they will. And I didn't want to admit it.
I hope I'm wrong.
I hope I'm wrong. Right. I got to admit, after the show, I was thinking that way, too. You know, because I was like, I kept thinking about that double overtime loss and just going back to Washington. I said, I hope I'm wrong. But if I had to handicap the game. But,
Let me ask you guys something. What do you think is the best story? Which team winning the cup is the best story?
Oh, the best story?
Yeah.
Well, you got to give me a couple choices. I think San Jose would be a good story. I mean, they've been deemed chokers by every analyst, every fan out there. They can't win the big game. You got Antti Niemi, who won the cup last year. That could be a good story.
Chat room's throwing Nashville out there. I'd probably go with Nashville.
Nobody cares about Nashville. And Barry Trotz.
Who cares about San Jose?
They're the Devil's South, Nashville.
Who cares about San Jose?
I like Buffalo, but who cares about San Jose? The storyline in all these NHL programs is that they're chokers. They can't win the big game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole NHL story. I mean, I'm not making a story. And Vancouver, I don't think that's much of a story, although they've, you know, they've choked. Buffalo would be a good story because, you know, beginning the season, you know, they didn't have much money. They're a small market team, you know. That would be a kind of a story.
Yeah, and they didn't get in. They didn't get in until the last week of the season. Pretty much,
yeah,
right?
And Mario brings up a good point. They have no cups. They've never won a cup. So I don't know. Anybody else think?
Well, I mean, Buffalo would be a good story. Nashville would be a good story, I think. Well, Phoenix would be a good story, Zach, except they're not in the playoffs anymore.
Does Phoenix go to Winnipeg or no? Or something else is going to happen?
You know, I don't know. Winnipeg, the people of Winnipeg kind of think they're pretty sure they're getting a team. They just don't know which one. They still think they can get Atlanta, too. So
take them both.
Take them both? Make one team out of them?
Merge them together like the Barons in Minnesota or something. So, I don't know.
The Thrashodies?
The Thrashodies.
The Manitoba Thrashodies.
I tell you that they love their hockey in Winnipeg. Unfortunately, they didn't love it in the 80s to keep the team. But, you know, things are different.
So
I can't ponder NHL questions. I'm just dealing with my own grief right now. But don't,
all right.
You remain loyal.
All
remain
right,
loyal.
I'm fucking out.
Okay.
All right,
guys. You remain loyal to you told the Rangers to tank after 60 games.
All right. Moving right along. Let's see if I can get the switchboard to work. There we go. Chandler, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah. As well as could be expected.
My wife, sharp objects away from me.
I'm all right. I'm a little worried about Robbie at this point, but I'm all right.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about him myself. it's you know, I'll leave the postmortem there to, you know, other people. For me, this is, you know, over the years, there's been a lot of the teams that I just couldn't stand. I mean, I'm a Ranger fan, I root for the team, but they were teams I just couldn't stand. And, I mean, you go back to Sylvain Lefebvre and guys like that. There were some teams I just couldn't stand. I love this team. You know, I love this team. I love the way this team is going. The fact that at one point, you think about, we had four of our six defensemen were first-year players at one point during the season. We had four of our six defensemen were in their first or second year. That's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at the youth, you look at how they play. And I'm not a torch guy, but, you know, I'll kind of piggyback on what you said, in that maybe he didn't make the adjustments because he was actually wanting these guys to learn one side of the puck first, and maybe he'll add on some other stuff next season and build on that. Maybe he's actually trying to teach these guys how to play hockey. You know, I have to believe that because I like this team, and I think that we are going to do so well with these guys. We got guys coming in the pipeline. And when's the last time we could be excited about the kids in the minors? How many years has it been since we could lose, you know, we got knocked out in the first round, but I'm really excited about seeing this team next year and not the, you know, the nonsense like Colorado did where they thought the team was going to win a cup the next year, you know, and then, you
right.
know, started paying everybody and their mother to buy. I think that we are in such better shape, doing so well with these kids, man, and I'm so proud of this team. You know, it sucks we lost and it hurts, but, man, I can't wait till next season. When's the last time we were able to say that? That we can't wait till next season.
Right. You're right.
Been, you know, so, it hurts that we lost, but, hey, when at the beginning of the season, what the hell did we expect? I didn't, you know, I was happy the fact that we were, you know, competing. You know, and here
right.
we are. We had a shot to take the series, and we got all these good young players. But
yeah.
it sucks that we lost.
Yeah, that's certainly a consolation. I mean, you know, you like you mentioned Sylvain Lefebvre, and you know, the Valerie Kamenskis of the world. I mean, all these dopey players that we had such a hard time rooting for. That, I mean, there's still three or four guys I'd like to not root for, but on a whole, all the young players are good. And, you know, down the stretch, we're going to have the Christian Thomases, and the Chris Kreiders, and the, you know, these other, and Hagelin,
yeah,
you know, battling for spots. So yes, you know, there's definitely a, you know, different vibe to this playoff loss, I think, you know,
yeah,
than years past. But it still hurts, you know that. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
You know, we're all disappointed.
You know, then that fucking low class Washington Capitals franchise, you know, having to put up on the board, "Can you hear us?" so their fans are chanting. You know what, man?
I wasn't aware of that.
They put it up on the scoreboard at the end.
Oh.
I don't even think it's low class, but it's bush league. Just get your own identity. Come up with your own idea. You know what
you
I
know,
mean?
I mean, really, that's what you got to do. You got to wait for somebody else to come with something, and then you got to tell your fans to chant that. Are your fans
aware of that?
You know, they don't know how to come up with their own chance. Are they that much a front-running damn franchise? Really?
Yeah, they are. I think they are.
You know, I guess that's what I'll save my anger for, is that fucking franchise. Fuck them. I hope their bus crashes on the way to the game. You know, fuck them. You know, you know, I don't want anybody to die, but fuck them. Let their bus crash. All their guys get fucking injured. You know, fuck you.
Fuck you. I like that.
I love that. See, you made me laugh.
Did you notice that they were
playing the chicken dance at the end, too?
Yeah,
Rangers stuff. Come on. That's Bush League. That is just classless.
What do you expect? Washington, D.C. Exactly. You know, you got a bunch of politicians and drug dealers there. What the hell else are you going to expect there? So.
And some are both.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, it's been so much fun for me, man, being able to talk hockey with other Ranger fans this season, man. And like I said, you know, we'll get into all the who should go, who should stay nonsense, but I'll let some other people get on the line. But you know what, man, I'm proud as hell to be a Ranger fan today. And you know what, we'll win the Cup next year. The hell with it. We're going to win it next year. So,
well, you say that anyway. Rangers are going to win the Cup.
There you go.
I've adopted that theory.
There you go.
How do you think the Rangers are going
to
win the Cup?
It has to happen.
All right, Chandler, we'll take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Bye. Quickly becoming one of our highlight calls every week.
Well, yeah.
I hope they get into a bus crash. Nobody dies, but fuck you.
That's great. How about call number two?
Let me see here.
Caller number two, introduce yourself to the public. Caller number two, introduce yourself to the public. Man, I done muted the call.
Zach, what's going on?
Did I scare Gabrick in my rant on Thursday? Because he was nowhere on the ice. What's that supposed to mean?
So
you got to play the blame game?
No, I was just, the whole point of me yelling at him Thursday was to get him riled up, and I guess it didn't work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you want, listen. Marion Gabbert where he is in this organization has to be reassessed, because I just think, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe he's injured and we don't know it or something, because he just did not look like the same guy.
That doesn't surprise me one bit, because I've spoken to Wild fans at the store and they tell me it's every other season. So, this season was not his season, so maybe next year it'll be a good one for him.
Could be. You know, I'm sure the Rangers are going to look at it. I don't see him going anywhere, but, you know.
Do you think we're going to keep Prosper for next season to work with Gabrick?
Well, you're asking me or Jim?
Both. Whoever wants to answer.
Well,
go ahead.
I'll answer first because I'm probably going to get booed out of the chat room and yelled at, but I don't really care. I don't want Vinny Frostwell on this team next year. And it's not because I don't think he can be a valuable player once in a while. I think there's better players out there for the Rangers to get than Vinny Frostwell. Younger and better. I didn't see much of Vinny in the playoffs. And again, I'm not going to base it on playoffs. I didn't want Vinny on the team in the beginning of the season. That's even before he got hurt. Well, I guess he was hurt. No, I think he got hurt in the preseason. But anyway, I just think that I love you, but it's time to cut the umbilical cord with him. You know, take his tan elsewhere. He's 38, whatever he is. Younger, you know. I'm just looking at the business. I have no problems with Vinny Frostwell. I just think there's probably better and younger out there.
All right.
Jim,
what's your take?
Time to move on. I don't mean from the phone call. I mean from Vinny Prospel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you want to move on from the phone call.
Hey, look, great signing for 2 years. Didn't cost him a lot of money. He did a lot of good things while he was here. You know, it was money well spent. Yeah, he was hurt this year, but, you know, he came back, played okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have
veteran
presence
at a good price, but it's time to move on. It's time for him to either, you know, find another team that requires the same type of services or whatever, or to retire or whatever it is he wants to do. But it's time for the Rangers to move on.
All right.
It's time for the Rangers to move on from a couple of guys. He's one of them. But that's for another show.
Yeah, we'll talk about that during the summer.
We got all summer to talk about that stuff.
And seeing as how Robbie has walked into the Valley of the Shadow of Death and has moved on, Robbie, if you hear us, we love you, we miss you, and rain down some happiness on us.
I thought you were going to go into a eulogy for Robbie.
That's your job. You're his idol. You're his hero. He's got a huge poster of you guys over his bed.
It'd have to be huge to get me in it. It'd have to be like a wall ceiling size. Anyway, yes.
On Monday, you should dedicate like a good portion of the show making a eulogy for him. We remember Robbie.
Yes. I don't want to joke about that because I don't know if Robbie's serious or not at this point.
And Adam is saying the funeral ends with the blow up.
Okay. Well, Zach, I got to say, man, good season by you. You know, you're one of the most loudest, most dedicated Ranger fans. You must have attended more viewing parties than any person I know. You've been on the double-decker bus screaming.
Also went to 10 Ranger games this year. That's a record for me for a non-season ticket holder.
Nice. Nice job.
Yes,
so, okay.
And next season, I hope to be on the road more. So let's go, Rangers. In the meantime, let's hope the Caps don't win.
Yep. That's a good wish.
Yep. All right. Take care. I'll try to call it on Monday, and let's go whatever.
Let's go whatever.
Sounds good.
Morale is dropping.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Talk to you later.
Okay,
bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Eddie, did you get that private message?
Yeah.
And... what's that?
Nothing.
Oh, should I do it or?
Yeah, why not?
All right, let's see. All right, 434-249. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
It's Mike. How you guys doing?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty well. Can't complain. Well, I suppose I could, but whatever. I'm calling because I was in Central Virginia during the 2009 playoffs when the Rangers broke my heart a little bit, and then there was last year. I was in Virginia for that, too. I'm in New York now, and I can tell you that a few years ago, I felt like a total shithead. This year, I feel pretty damn good about it. Not being a shithead, actually, but the team in general. So Chandler inspired me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to call up and say the proper praises for this team. So though I'm probably going to go out tonight and I'm probably going to get drunk as fuck, pardon my French. But I'm wearing my Ranger jersey because they deserve people to represent that and say you can walk around with your head high, and I know I'm going to be encountering Islander fans because I'm in Long Island, but I'm cool with that, and that's good.
Now, see, Mike, I got to be honest with you. When I saw your phone number pop up on the switchboard and I didn't recognize the area code, while we were on with Zach, I Googled your area code and I saw that it was Virginia. And I was afraid you were going to be a Caps fan calling in to gloat.
Oh, so, no.
Eddie and I had a little discussion on the private message whether or not I should even bring you up or not. So I'm glad you're – I mean, I wouldn't have minded if a Caps fan called up, but knowing most of them, they'll just, Rangers suck, you guys lost, and they'd hang up the phone before I could congratulate them on all those cups they've won.
No, that would be terrible. I don't know how I'd live myself if I were a troll like that. But, no, and it was just one of those things, and, I mean, I'm certainly not going to dwell on bad memories, but, I mean, in the 2009 years, or that year, I was, you know, sitting in a bar every single night watching these games because I had blackout. I had the internet package, you know? Mm-hmm. But I couldn't watch any of the Cap games because I was under their coverage. So I necessarily had to go out and drink in public and watch the Rangers blow the 3-1 lead. So, and I'm sitting there wearing my regalia and getting all into it. And then, you know, game 6 rolls around, game 7 rolls around. And, you know, surrounded by an entire horde of people who discovered hockey existed 6 months before that. So, whatever.
Yeah. But this,
so, I mean, that's oh, I'm sorry, guys.
I was just going to say that you're exactly right. The difference between the 2009 team and the 2010-11 team is that you can be proud of these guys, and you know they're going to be back. Or most, you know, the core young guys and core group is going to be back next year. And
right.
And they played their hearts out. I really think they gave all they could give in most cases, but they didn't have a lot. They didn't have a lot to give, you know. Offensively,
right.
At least, you know.
Well, and that's the thing, right, is that when they were down 3, or I'm sorry, when they were up 3-1 in 2009, I didn't feel as good about them being down 3-1 this year. See what I mean? Or I felt, mm-hmm. I felt better this year about them being down 3-1. I had more faith in the team than even in 2009 when they were up 3-1. I mean, I certainly had myself feeling good about that series, but in this year I can say, you know what, we're totally legit, and whatever we do get out of it, it's all us, and that's all. So I just wanted to say my piece on that one. So
all right. Well, thanks, Mike. Enjoy your night at the bar, and I hope you don't catch too much crap from Capitals fans. Oh,
no,
you're in Long Island now.
No,
right.
I'm in
Long
Island now. So, no, it's going to be Islander fans and wishful thinking.
Oh, good luck finding a couple of those.
Oh, no. There's a whole lot of Islander fans that are all about wishing that they could be depressed about missing or about getting kicked out of the playoffs.
Oh.
They're a couple years out from that anyway.
Oh, well, they could be depressed about paying a brittle, broken-down goaltender for another 15 years.
Yeah, for real, with that guy. That's a whole different conversation. But yeah, I wanted to say what's up, and that's all.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Mike.
Call it again.
Y'all be good.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Let's see. Who's next? We'll go to Jack Love down in Florida.
Hey.
What's going on, Jack?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. I mean, you know, it's sad to see the season end, but, you know, probably saw it coming in a way that game the other night we lost in the Garden, that probably summed it up. That was a big game to lose, but you know, we're on the right track, and it was a great year, and the Rangers are gaining playoff experience, and you know, I just hope they remember how the losing felt and become stronger next year, and I think they will. And we're going to add a couple of players here and there. If we add some players like Prust, who always battle and always show up for every game, we're going to be real good. And I think in about 2 or 3 years, we'll be an elite team.
Well,
I would agree with you.
You know, and I just want to, I don't want to take up room here. I know there's other people, but I just want to say this has been a fun experience this year, hooking up and connecting with Ranger fans from around the U.S. and overseas. And, And it's great that you guys, Jim and Eddie here, have a show just for Ranger fans only. It's been a blast, and I hope it'll continue. And I can't wait till next year comes. Drop the puck. I want to make my plans to come up to New York and see the Rangers again. I really can't wait.
And, oh, that sounds good. And we'll be here all summer.
We'll be here all
really
summer.
Appreciate. Oh, you'll be doing shows all summer, or
all summer?
Yeah.
Oh, also, great. Wow.
The draft is coming up and free agency, and then, you know, the off season goes real quick, especially, you know, with the playoffs. You know, there's not much time, you know. We don't go anywhere.
I'm just curious about what all – I mean, it's going to be an interesting summer. I just don't understand Gabby. I still think that they're saying something they're hiding something. Maybe he has some other hurt somewhere, but I mean, he's like Gabby the ghost.
Yeah.
Nothing like last year. And
yeah.
I'm just curious if they're going to, I don't know, back of my mind, I keep thinking maybe they're going to put like DZ, a few other people in a package deal for somebody. But, you know, the value of Gabby is not high right now, so I imagine they'll probably just keep him. I really don't understand how it went from such a good year last year and it's just invisible this year. And just depressing to see him have such a terrible season towards the end there. Jeez.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure, again, we're going to be talking about this till the beginning of next season, you know, where he fits in the lineup, where he fits in the organization. And, yeah, and maybe Zach's right. Maybe he's a good year, bad year. He's the Howard Johnson of hockey, maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, Jack Love, you have been a welcome addition to this program. Your phone calls have inspired both me and Jim. And you're loved by the people. And that's what's mostly, you know, you're loved by the people. And that's, you can't ask for more than that.
I like the combination of Ranger fans, though. They're the gals out there who know a lot about hockey. I don't think I've heard so many gals, like Sue, Amy, and Ava, and I mean, they know they're Rangers. I mean, it's really amazing. And you got the
young ones.
You got the young kids. You got the guys like Paul and Mario and Adam. They've been through all this hurt of all these seasons, you know. I mean, this is just the beginning. This is not the worst season ending for me. I mean, when the Rangers had their great teams with Emil Francis, you know, that you think they were going to win a cup and they – and, you know, they bombed. They're the teams that hurt me a lot, you know. This team is finally going in the right direction after all these years. Who said we couldn't wait for a winner? You see these youth, they're improving. Callahan is fantastic, and Boyle and Prust. I mean, they're going in the right direction. So I know within a couple of years that they're going to be a good, strong team, and they're going to be a team. I just want a team that's going to be competitive every year, that'll make the playoffs. It would be nice to see a team like, if we could get like Detroit, you know, always there, get 100 points, couple of cups. I'm dreaming,
yeah.
Right?
Well,
but,
you're allowed to dream. We're Ranger fans, but you're right. Again, if we look over the season, out of the 82 games, I think 75 the Rangers came to play every night. You know, there may have been seven clunkers, maybe, even if that, you know. They came to play and compete every night, and they get bounced in the playoffs from a team that's further along in the process, like I said in the beginning, you know. And they did not show quit. We just want a team, and I'm sure you'll agree, that kind of reflects the fan. A guy who just wants to work hard and just, you know, earn your bones. Yeah, the effort.
Right.
We want to see the effort. We take a lot of effort in being a fan, watching the games, this and that. We want to see that from the team, and I think they didn't disappoint us at all this year as far as that's concerned.
Exactly. I want to see a team that was given bologna sandwiches to start out with and work their way up to a filet mignon. That's what I want to see.
Ah!
And the Rangers, I love the skating, and you're absolutely right. They were in every game, and that's what you want, is the competitiveness of them. And listen, even though we lost in five games to Washington, a puck bounced this way and that way, we could have easily been up 3-1. Easily.
Absolutely.
But that's the breaks of the game, and that's what makes hockey the game it is, because a stupid bounce could cost you a game, and you have those bad memories. But like I said, if these kids are getting this playoff experience, they're going to be stronger for it. And they're going to say, man, I can't take that losing feeling. You've got to have that feeling, I hate to lose. You shouldn't settle for it. And when you do, you're a beaten team. And, man, I should be a coach.
Yeah.
But
Bologna to filet mignon. I like that.
You know, all these fans out there, it's been so much fun. I can't tell you. And I can't wait to get up there and meet you guys. And if you ever come down to Tampa, I could get you some good seats in, you know, the Channelside Club where you eat food and all that. I like that part. And it's a lot of fun. It's not Madison Square Garden, but I'll come up there sometime next year, hopefully. I just hope they win. Every time I come up there, they always play some of the worst games of the year. But,
oh, geez. Stay away. Know, no, I'm only kidding.
You guys are great, and I'm glad I tune in. You know, Ava always would tell me, hey, Greg, you should tune in. And I know you send me these little Facebook updates there, but I have a little more time, and I am really hooked, and I really enjoy it. And I just look forward to that puck dropping next year. It's like right around the corner.
I hope so.
All right, guys. All right, guys.
All right.
Back
all right,
to
Jack.
The blog.
Take care. We'll talk to you next
okay.
time.
You got Bye. It. Bye.
The great Jack Love. Moving right along. 718-225. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
I believe it's Stan.
Hi, Stan. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Got in a little late. I just came back from dinner, so I don't know what was discussed earlier. I'll give you my take on things. Obviously, I think the biggest problem was the power play. And before I even get into that, I want to say that Brian McCabe was brought here to help the power play. He is one of the worst players I've ever seen in my life, and I'm watching hockey over 40 years. He was an embarrassment.
Yeah, that didn't quite work out the way they'd hoped.
I mean, he did nothing offensively and nothing defensively. He was just dreadful. I mean, he's like Igor Yulianov territory.
Jesus.
I'm talking major bad. I'm talking ugly bad.
And he in the playoffs especially, he's dreadfully slow.
Yeah.
Dreadfully slow.
But that's the one area they've got to do something about. Because, see, I mean, they were 1-for-20. Just, you know, another 2 or 3 goals, even 2 goals in the right place, and they'd be playing Monday.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more about McCabe. He is awful defensively.
I mean,
awful.
I can't even see somebody signing him next year. How can you put him out on your team?
And thank God that Gilroy played a good series. I thought Gilroy played his best hockey as a Ranger.
Uh-huh.
And with that pairing, I was scared every time McCabe was out. And like you said, his futility with the power play, which he was brought in to be help. I think it's a one and done for him.
Yeah, no, he will not be back. And like I said, I can't imagine somebody even signing him next year. He should think about retiring. But they've got to do something. Look, they need at least probably 2, but at least 1 guy who can put the puck in the net, you know, because they just don't have enough of that.
I just was reading here on Andrew Gross, since we talked about Dan Girardi before. He played most of the game with a dislocated finger. Mm-hmm. Needed stitches during the game and an x-ray on his ankle after the game. Tortorella said his finger was all over the place. It was dislocated up to the knuckle. He's getting his ankle x-rayed now. And he's a guy no one talked about in this series. Well, we talked about him. We talked about him every show, how great he's been. And we know Tortorella's listening on his way home right now.
Can you imagine how black and blue Girardi is?
Oh, yeah, from head to toe. except his face, because he's smarter than Mike Green and knows not to block a shot with his face.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I wondered next year if they're going to tell him to kind of tone that down. Or you think he's just, because he's kind of emerged as this. I mean, you know, he's always been good, but he was super. I mean, what courage this guy has. I mean, going down night after night. I mean, you know, he didn't pick his spots. He was just a total warrior out there. There's no way, you know, other than describe him. But this just in also from Andrew Gross. I don't know if you read this, Jim. Igor Ulanov, number 44, has been re-signed by the Rangers.
And the Rangers have invited Stan from Bayside to the introductory press conference.
I also hope they bring back Sandis Ogerlund.
Oh, God.
Another all-time great.
Power play specialist / alcoholic.
Oh, boy.
But anyhow,
I mean, that's the gist of it. They've got to improve the power play and at least get somebody who knows what in back of the net is. And I mentioned this last time I called, that Volsky was also a major disappointment. I mean, you know, what did he score for them, about 7 or 8 goals in half a season?
Yeah.
I feel like Volsky, to me, it just doesn't jive with Torts. I don't know. He wound up getting the late goal in this game. I don't know what his points were in the series.
That was meaningless.
He certainly wasn't what I thought he was going to be. And he seems to be like in that Erica Christensen zone where he's a head case. And I don't want any guys who are not like giving 100% all the time. Especially on this team. They stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, the thing with Volpe is, I know he has another year in his contract, and he's making a decent sum. So maybe they'll bring him in the training camp and hope he, you know, gets used to New York and plays better. But,
Yeah, he certainly did not fit in well, I thought.
Well, you know, plus in the next couple of days, they'll all gather at the training center. They sit down with Tortorella, and he goes over, you know, what he likes about their game, what he doesn't like about their game, and what his expectations are for training camp. And, you know, this will be the first time Volsky's heard this speech. So, like you said, he's on the hook again for next year. So, you know, once he comes back, if he still plays the same way, then there's no excuses. You know, if he's still the same player, you know, maybe it'll click with him. Who knows?
I mean, there's got to be a reason the guy's been traded so many times, too, and, you know. He's only 24 or whatever it is, you know.
But, you know, it was disappointing, too, because we'd heard that he'd been good in the playoffs, and we didn't see any of that. You know, I'm going to give him credit for it.
We got to look at his minutes, too, because, you know, those guys get benched real quick when things aren't going right.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in Tort's book, there's a reason for that. But I don't know. I don't want to get into that yet. But you're right. He has to be reevaluated. And Tortorella does these exit interviews at the end of the season where he talks, like Jim said, he talks to the players. And last year he had an exit interview with Brian Boyle. He said, listen, you play like this, you're going to be an AHL player for the rest of your career. And, you know, he sees Barb Underhill, and he had a good season. Mm-hmm. And frankly, their line was the best line today.
Yeah, but when your third line is your best line, that's a problem.
Right, because they can't put the puck in the net.
And I think they got a few guys that need to carpool with Brian Boyle to see that Barb Underhill this summer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get on. I thought Artem Anisimov was invisible.
He's one of them.
I think Derek Stepan, I didn't think, and I give him a pass because it's his first pro season, but I didn't see anything from him in this series. And, you know, so. But, you know, they're young and they're dumb and they're full of... Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different show. So we got the youngsters, so we're good. And we'll see what shakes out.
And there'll be more youngsters next year.
That's right.
So. I hope this Thomas kid comes along very quickly.
Yeah. We need those goals. Yeah, definitely. Christian Thomas and, like I said, Chris Kreider, who I've heard of the Rangers are trying to make him back out of his decision to stay in college, because they're always looking out for the best interest.
Yeah.
Turn pro.
Let him go to school.
Yeah.
Let him go to school. See what this. We'll see what Carl Hagelin's made of in training camp, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a big time scorer though. He's a good all around player, but he's not a 30 goal scorer.
I thought that's what he scored this year for Michigan.
No, he had about 18, 19.
Oh, I thought. It was
I mean, you know, which is good for college because they play 40 games. But
wow.
I mean, you can't expect that much from a rookie anyhow. You can't expect that kid's 21.
Right.
Come in and score 40 goals for you.
And not a rookie that plays for the Rangers.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody else, yeah, but not.
Not even that nowadays. If you get 20 goals, you get a great rookie season, unless you're a phenom,
All right, guys.
All right.
You're the guy's going to be on every week?
All summer long.
All summer. All right.
We're going to take the rest of the week off, and we'll be back May 2nd.
All right, very good.
And then did you hear about our big guest on May 10th?
Igor Yulianov, right?
No, seriously.
Oh, that's not a show.
You didn't hear the story the other night?
No.
I don't. Maybe you weren't here the other night. Monty Hall is going to join us.
Let's make a deal, huh?
Yeah. Well, he got his start as a Rangers announcer, and I reached out to him, and he told me he's got all kinds of stories from when he worked with the Rangers. And so we're going to – it's the off season. We can have a little fun and talk about whatever. But, yeah, he's going to tell us about when he was working with the Rangers and everything else. So, yeah.
Door number two.
What's that?
Door number two.
Door number two. Canned squid.
All right.
It's a zonk. It's Brian McKay. And some Eskimo pies.
There you go. All right, Stan. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Take care, Stan.
One of the elder statesmen of Blue Shirt Banner Radio, Stan from Bayside.
Yes. Good man.
I like using that term about people. I refer to a lot of people on Blue Shirt Banner. I call them the elder statesmen. I like that term. I don't know why.
So I'm reading the chat room where they're all talking about Michael Delzato. And yes, I think they should keep Michael Delzato down there until he figures it out and then bring him up. I don't think they should trade him. I don't think that this, we've talked to people who scout and people who follow, and they believe that Michael Delzato has the offensive talent to become maybe that guy that, I have no problem with him starting off as a 5 or a 6 next year. I mean, can't be worse than Brian McCabe. I know, everybody wants to go Del Turnover, Del Taco, Del whatever. But he's young. Yeah. So.
I like that Del
Taco. Anyway, I'm not giving up on Michael Delzato.
No, but if, my advice to Ranger fans for right now on Michael Delzato is expect nothing. Don't assume he's going to be, he's going to be with the team next season. He may be another year in the AHL.
Yeah.
And if that's what it takes, so be it.
Right. I mean, if he plays well in the AHL next year and puts up some offensive points and the plus-minus is good, then by all means, bring him up. Let him play. If he stinks to join up and he turns out to be Bobby Sanguinetti, then ship his ass off.
Bye-bye, so long, Guinetti.
But
isn't it funny how we come up with, between us and the chat room, we come up with all these names for guys? I mean, we had so many names for Sanguinetti. Oh, my God. How is he? He never played. He never even wound up playing this year, right? He was hurt most of the year.
He got hurt early with Carolina, and then it was not much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I lost track of his career the day after he was traded for the Rangers.
Yeah, he has no. He didn't play at all for Carolina this year. I know he was with their AHL team, but he didn't play at all for the Hurricanes. And I know he was hurt. So. All right, back to the phones we go. Here's another phone number I don't recognize. 914-495. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Nick.
Hey, Nick.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to kind of talk about how McDonough and Sauer kind of played in the series. I thought, aside from maybe that turnover that McDonough makes, they played just a solid series, and they just had a lot of poise. And it's kind of pretty exciting going forward, those two.
Yeah, we definitely agree with you. Three games in D.C. where they were – you know, where the Caps had the advantage, the matchup advantage, and you know, they found themselves on the ice a lot of times against the Ovechkin line, and I thought they fared well. You know, a couple of mistakes here and there, nothing to you know what more can you expect out of them? I thought they did a terrific job.
Yeah, I thought actually at the beginning of the season when training camp was going on, I wasn't sure when they had Sauer made the team. I thought the only reason they were going to do that at first was because I think he's the last part of the Brian Leetch deal in terms of that's currently on the team as a draft pick. But he wound up being a pretty good surprise, and he stayed healthy this whole season, which he wasn't able to do in the minors.
Yeah, yeah. He certainly – I never felt uncomfortable with that matchup, like Ovechkin's line out against Sauer and McDonough.
Yeah.
Because I thought that they could handle the job.
Yeah.
And this is first-year defenseman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot to be said. NHL defense is the hardest thing to play, to learn. The learning, you know, it's a big learning curve. And I thought these guys played absolutely fantastic. They should be commended, and, you know, they deserve total accolades. Two rookies, I mean, for sure.
I mean, I remember a year or so back when the Rangers were able to somehow dump Gomez and his contract for McDonough, and he was looked at as a gem. I think he was their number one prospect in their system at that time. And the fact that we wound up getting McDonough and Prust in separate deals for Gomez and Higgins winds up really working out for us in the long haul. So Sather has a way of undoing his mistakes. He's good during the season with trades, but in the off season, he usually makes those mistakes. He can't. It's like a kid in a candy shop.
Well, you know, in the off season, he's idle. You know, idle hands. You know, it's like you always got to make sure your kids are staying busy, make sure they're not getting into trouble.
Right.
Same thing with Glenn. You know, Glenn needs like a Rubik's cube or a PS3 or something to keep him busy during the summer, so that he's completely distracted from these bad contracts.
Exactly.
Yeah, the UFAs are really bad. That's where he sucks. I mean, you look at the beginning of the year and Todd White, Froloff, the kid, was it Tim Kennedy? Is that his name? Yeah, Kennedy. And even though that was a good pickup, they set them down and they were unable to bring him back up again.
That was a stupid move.
It was like, who's running this circus? You know, and but he somehow. And I don't know how he does it, but he bamboozles these GMs. And I did a video on Ranger Crisis when that trade broke. I'm going to try to find it, where I was like, are you kidding me? You know, I'm like, the Rangers, this is highway robbery. They get rid of Scott Gomez. They get Ryan McDonough. And Montreal was so hot on Subban that they kind of just let him, like,
let him go.
Dropped in their rankings, and he's a solid defenseman. I mean, you know, they got so enamored. Better for us, we get rid of Gomez, and we get this stellar defenseman. So
exactly. So, guys, I have a quick question for you. What do you guys think is the future going forward of Matt Gilroy? He's a guy that I've liked for the last two seasons. Obviously, him and Torts have had some problems, but I thought in this series he really showed what he could do. Do you think he has a shot of coming back next year, or do you think he's not going to be in their plans?
I think, well, Eddie talked about it the other night. Eddie, why don't you retell that, what you told the other night about his contract and the money that he's eligible for? And
well, I think it's really up to Matt on how he approaches Sather now. I think he's due for, if he's re-signed, I'm trying to figure what the
wasn't it $2.1 million or something? He's eligible.
He's due to
qualifier.
Yeah.
That's the word.
He's owed a pricey $2.1 million qualifier for the Rangers to retain his rights.
Right, because he's an RFA.
Right. So, and if the Rangers make him an offer and he doesn't like it, of course they're going to offer him money less than that.
Right.
He would become a UFA.
I see.
My feeling on the thing is, I can't see now, but I'm not a professional athlete and I'm not all about money, and I agree with you. Matt Gilroy played a hell of a lot better than I thought he was gonna play.
Yeah.
He looked like the guy we were promised, I thought.
Exactly.
He was joining the play at the right times, and And he wasn't a defensive liability, especially being paired with McCabe, which,
right.
You know. So
that didn't do him any favors either.
Right, that didn't do him any favors. I think it depends on if he – it depends on him, you know. If he says, you know, I mean, how much do you – I mean, you're a Gilroy fan. How much do you think he's worth?
Well, if Wade Redden makes $6 million, he might be worth $7 million, so.
Well, yeah.
So I don't know. I would think he'd probably be worth, you know, maybe, you know, 2.5. I don't know. Maybe under 3, and I would be happy. I mean, you got to consider all these other guys like Bogart and stuff like that. They signed to these just ridiculous deals. But I feel like Gilroy would be a good defenseman as a 6 and 7, and could wind up being better than that. And especially you got to realize that McCabe, who's the idiot Panthers had him getting $5.5 million a season. I'm assuming he won't be here, so they're going to have those lower two spots in their D open to whether they're going to have Gilroy there and Delzato or some young guys come up or free agents. I think that he has a good place there if Torts would kind of let him play here and there.
Yeah, but you got to think about it this way though, Nick. They're paying, if you're talking about Gilroy as a fifth or sixth defenseman, they're paying their number one defenseman, I think, $4 million.
Yeah, so then I would say probably
two and a half. You can't pay Gilroy 3.
Yeah.
I don't think – I tell you, I'll be honest with you. I think for Gilroy to stay with the Rangers, I think he's got to accept a small pay cut.
Yeah.
Maybe if it's only a two-year deal.
Yep.
Or I can't see paying him. I like Gilroy too. I'm in his corner, and I'm kind of – I keep – he's one of these guys that I'm afraid that the minute they trade him away, you know, he's going to
– He's going to be Sergei Zubov.
Yeah, or Mike Green or something. You know, But I still can't see paying him $2 million a year right now yet.
Yeah.
I think they try and get him for, you know, 2 years, maybe around the same money they've got him for now, if they can.
Right.
And I think he'd be stupid not to take it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree.
Nobody's paying Matt Gilroy $3 million, and if they are, you got to let him go.
Yeah. He doesn't have the stats anyway.
So.
Yeah, that's what I think they're going to base it on. And, again, he's a sixth pairing, you know. He was a healthy scratch for a lot, you know. Good amount of games this year too. I'm looking at him coming back. I'm way under you though, Nick. I'm about 1.25 per 2 years. That's my
one-way
contract. One-way contract.
Yeah, that might be the kicker in the deal where he's going to insist on it being a one-way again if he's going to be with the Rangers, so he doesn't have the shot of getting sent down anyway.
Yeah, that's my feeling on it.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it, and I'll definitely be kind of tuning in as we go forward. It'll be interesting to see what Sather does as we go forward. Hopefully he doesn't go crazy like a kid in the candy store again. But I don't know. We need some scoring somehow on this team. Like you guys, you were saying I had heard the same thing, that Kreider had committed to BC again next year, which kind of bummed me because I was hoping he might be able to help out. But we'll see if Carl Hagelin winds up doing anything or where they're going in this offseason because – up front, if you look at the UFA list, it's for centers, it's Brad Richards, and then it's everybody else down on third and fourth line. And it's kind of scary that, you know, they might just have to stick with what they got and kind of develop what they have because there's not really many options out there unless Sather pulls out another trade. Outside of maybe Brad Richards, it's more of a defenseman market and it's a lot of goalies out there. So it'll be interesting to see how they go.
Yeah,
I agree.
It will. Yeah.
All right, Nick.
Well, thank you, guys.
Take care.
Talk to
you soon. Bye. Isn't it funny, Eddie? Yeah, absolutely. Very good call. Isn't it funny that now that the off season's here, now it's like this fear sets in with Ranger fans? Like, oh, God, what's, you know, what's the evil genius going to do?
Yeah. Now the off season's here. What's this guy going to do to F up our team?
You know, it's almost like when you were a kid and you came home with your report card and your dad wasn't home yet. And you sat in your room just waiting for your dad, for the dad's car to pull up, because you knew you were in trouble. What's the old man going to do once he gets out the checkbook? Jesus, it's sad but true. All right, we got 15 minutes to go. And we'll wrap things up, and we'll see you guys. We're going to be back a week from Monday, May 2nd. We'll eight the usual eight to ten. We'll be back and. And then we can start talking about who stays, who goes, and how to move forward. So let's go back to the phones. 516-860, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's up? My name is Dan from Long Island.
Hi, Dan from Long Island.
Yeah, I'm a little upset there. Thank you. It was my first time listening, actually. I'm actually a big fan of what you guys have to say so far.
Stick around. You'll hate us soon enough.
Nah, it's all good. I fight with my friends too much about this. One of my friends, he's a huge optimist, and every year he's just like, oh, this is going to be the year, this is going to be the year. And, you know, I've been arguing with him over Gabrick since we signed him last season or whatever, the year before. I think he's the big issue, honestly. You know, in the beginning of the year, Tortorella's talking about accountability and accountability, but, you know, Gabrick wasn't benched till what, 4 games ago or whatever, at the end of the third period? Like, he just nothing. I would have scratched him for, like, 2 or 3 games at the way he was playing this year. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think he did scratch him for a game, didn't he, at some point?
I don't think it was a scratch. I think he was out. He benched him for a third period. I know that.
I thought he scratched him for – I could be wrong about that. You know, the problem is that, you know, when you're so hurting for offense, you hate to take him out of the lineup. You know,
exactly.
It's a catch 22. You hate to take him out of the lineup, and then sometimes you hope that you know, what he did was, you know, he double shifted him a lot down the stretch, hoping to get him going, you know, trying to give him as much ice time as possible, and just nothing worked. You know, and I don't know what fixes this guy, and I'm just not a fan of this. I'm not a fan of this groundswell of we got to get Brad Richards to help Gabby, and you know, this is
neither am I.
This is going to be brought up again, you know, in plenty of future conversations, but I'm already hearing it a lot. And I'm just not a fan of going out and getting another 30-year-old center, because suppose that doesn't work.
Exactly.
What are you going to do if you get to the end of next season and Gabby's got another 20 goals with 15 of them against shitty teams,
right,
and he doesn't click with Richards? Then you've got two guys locking up $16, $17 million.
And then you're back to Gomez and Drury again.
Well, you're not far off. We'll put it that way.
I mean, so, like, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. It's fine.
I've never, like, Gavrik coming onto the Rangers was known as being an inconsistent, you know, type of premier player, you know, and not for nothing. Even when he does play good, he's not as dynamic as, let's say, Yager was, where, you know, the Eastern Conference got used to Yager, but Yager still found ways to kind of work around that. Gavrik doesn't seem to have that.
Yeah, I agree. Jaromir Jagr was just a different
level of
player.
He was a special player.
He was all world. I mean, watching him, to me, there were very few players could do some of the things that he was able to do.
That was a huge mistake letting him go. I think even at his age now, I think he would still be helping the team out, even if it was on like the third line or something like that.
I thought at the time it was time for them to move on from Jaromir Jagr.
Really?
I didn't have a problem with it. Yeah, I thought it was.
Even
maybe
in the Olympics.
And you know
yeah,
what?
That's what it is. It's, you know, you remember all those big goals he scored, and he was a scoring machine for the Rangers. And he, in playoff time, he was even a bigger factor. Yeah, it's nostalgia. But after the Olympic showing he had, where Ovechkin hit him in that one game, and he looked like he was a crumpled old man. He never had any. But
you look like Ollie getting
right.
Hit by Harry
you
Holmes.
Guys are right about Gabrick, but I'm not as anti Richards as you guys are.
He's a good guy, but
I can't now. Listen, I've been wrong before, but I can't see him being as suckful as Gomez.
That's true.
I think Brad Richards is a talent. Whether he clicks with Gabby or not, I think he's going to click with somebody.
But let me ask you this: what about
my other concern about Richards is he going to be all right after that concussion? Because he definitely wasn't the same player when he came back.
Yeah, he tapered off a little bit towards the end.
So you know that's another concern, because the last thing we need to do is bring back a high price center with a concussion issue. Because I'm pretty sure we're all old enough to remember that the walk we took down that road before.
Yes. Now what about a player like Parisi? He's unrestricted, isn't he, this year?
He's restricted.
I mean, what would you think about, you know, shooting him an offer, or somebody like Drew Doughty, who's a restricted free agent, seeing if we can maybe pull them in?
Do it in a heartbeat.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, why wouldn't – I feel like – but that's not something I feel like is in his brain right now, Glenn Taylor, you know? Like, I was watching Drew Doughty play the other night, and I was like – I was crying. I was like, oh, my God, what I would do for a player like this guy. And, you know, I just don't get it.
We don't have enough time left in this show to get into Glenn's brain.
Yeah, I don't think we have enough time left in our lives to get into his brain. So.
So all right.
I appreciate you guys taking the call.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you, Adam.
Sorry. That was a good phone call, and keep listening because we're doing all the summer. We're going forward, bro.
Yes, stick
thanks,
with
guys.
Us.
I appreciate it.
We'll be around. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Good calls tonight. Again, good calls.
Again. Because it's playoff time. Everybody's got their game faces. Well, it was playoff time. Everybody's got their game faces.
All right. Just a few minutes to go. We'll be back with you next Monday. We're going to take a week off. Let's bring in a last call on the switchboard at the time, right now anyway. It's a Skype call or unknown call or a blocked call or something. Anyway, you're on Blue Shirt Bandit Radio. Who's this?
Saving the best call for last.
Absolutely. How are you, Paul? How are you feeling?
Hi, guys. You know what? Pretty good. As I think you guys pretty much summed it up, how you should feel about the season. I sort of been listening on and off. I had to run away a few times from the computer. But, I mean, if someone would have told me at the beginning of the season, you know, we would have this many injuries, Gabrick would pretty much disappear the whole season, power play trouble, the home record not too good, although it didn't look that bad at the end. But, I mean, I would have said we would be, you know, we would have been out of the playoff picture by the All-Star break. And, you know, I mean, the younger players, I mean, I think you guys said it best. There's a lot to look forward to in the future. I really believe that. And, it was tough to take the loss the other night. But we're Ranger fans. We pick ourselves up off the deck and move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, they improved on last year's point total. They were a team we could be proud of. I mean, you know, Paul, you've been around the block, you know, as long as I have, maybe even longer with the Rangers. I mean, how many teams can you say you were proud of? I mean, there may be, maybe 7 or 8. I don't know. I don't know what the number is. But, I was proud to be a Ranger fan this year. I mean, I'm always proud, but, you know.
You were very proud the night when you sat with me in my seats in 303 and the two girls in front celebrated the goal. You were very proud that night. But we won't get into that. It's a family show.
Yeah. We'll tell that story. Actually, we'll tell that story at another time. But, yes, I was proud to be a Ranger fan because Ranger fans celebrate goals like none other.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I had a lot of good times at the Garden this year and meeting everybody. I know you did too, Paul. Me and you met a lot of people down there.
Yeah. And, of course, Eddie, just tell Jim, what did I say when we were at the game a couple weeks ago? I said, I just wish Jim lived here close to New York.
Yeah.
That we could hang out more.
Yeah.
Because we'd have so much fun.
Yeah, right. I know.
Yeah.
But what can I do?
What can I do?
This is where the job is.
In Arizona.
Thanks.
I'm only kidding, brother. You know, I love you.
It's all right. It makes it more special when I come visit.
That's
more
true.
Now, Jim, are you going to have any summer trips maybe into the area here in New York or
honestly,
doubtful?
I don't know about the summer because my son's in the process. He's going to be moving out here. We're going to try and get him into school out here, so I'll probably be focused on that for the summer. I don't know if I'm going to the draft, so we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. I may just wait, come in October or something like that after the season starts. We'll see.
Okay.
I'll be around.
Okay, it would have been nice, a little summer reunion right in the doldrums waiting for hockey to come around.
Yeah,
well, thank God I've got the Mets to keep me busy. Also.
Please, don't even go there. Please don't.
Scott just had surgery. Don't get him crazy.
Yeah.
They win. Did they play this afternoon? Are they playing tonight?
They won this afternoon. Yeah,
oh, they won?
It was a rain delay, but they got the game in and they won.
So that's what, 3 in a row, 4 in a row?
Break them up. Yep.
Break, exactly. That's what I told Robbie last night. Break up the Mets. Here they look.
I'm a little worried about Robbie.
When it comes to the Arizonas and the Houstons of the world, the Mets will be just fine.
Hey, guys, just let me get ahead here. And I think me and Eddie had spoke about this. Next season, what happens if we again have to get into the playoffs the last game of the season, or if they get in and there's another first round exit? And you know where I'm going with this.
Well, look, then you got to make changes.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah,
but here's and we're going to get into a whole different thing, but here's the problem, okay? Next, God forbid next season, if next season goes similar to this season, right? Then the initial reaction or the assumption would be that you would probably make a coaching change. But does the GM get to make another coaching change? You see where I'm going with this?
Absolutely, because he's here to stay.
GM, who's going to fire the GM at this point? Nobody.
Look
at the other team that plays in that building where you had a guy who cost them millions of dollars in a sexual harassment suit and still had to practically kicking and screaming get the owner of the company to fire Thomas, and he still retains him as a consultant. I mean, he's an idiot. There's no other way to put it. The man's an idiot. So, you know, that's my problem, is that the same guy will you know, if it came down to that, the same guy would fire and hire another head coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless he retires.
Yeah. What do you think about Gabrick?
We got to save that for another show.
Okay.
Soon enough, Paul. Soon enough.
Yeah, we got all summer.
We can't wait for it all tonight. It's going to be a long summer, Paul.
Absolutely.
And we got to get ready for Monty Hall. That's just
okay.
Short weeks away now.
Hey, let me ask you. I have a book about the Rangers that was published not many years ago. I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. They have a lot of pictures in that. And they have a picture of Monty Hall, and they have a little caption about him, you know, doing the radio in the, I think, 59-60 season, if I'm not. But
yes.
I'm just curious. They said that he was paid $50 a game back then. And I'm just curious if you remember to ask him. I'm just curious
that'd be a good.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah, because I think they quoted Jim Gordon kidding, saying, "That's what he says. I was only paid $35. That's what he was getting. You know, that was big money back then, $35 a game. And Monty was telling everyone he was getting $50 a game. So I'm going to try to post the. I'm going to try to scan it and put it on my Facebook page. And
that'll be cool.
It's a picture of Monty in his younger days. So.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll do that.
And we'll definitely ask him about that.
Yeah, and that's May 2nd?
May 2nd, yes.
Okay.
May 2nd.
And I have a young gentleman over my shoulder looking, and he sends his regards, and Eddie knows who it is.
Yes!
Paul's
son,
Michael, looking over, smiling.
Who is a big Oliver Perez fan and loves... Holy cow. Yeah, don't worry. Better days are coming.
Hey, guys, one thing. Gerard Ito was really, he had an outstanding season. I know last year, forget the whole thing with the Gabbert-Carcillo fight, but, you know, there was a stretch last year. He didn't play too well, but he played well the latter part of last season. But, I mean, him and Stahl were, outstanding this season. And, you cannot say anything negative about him at all.
No,
and especially after today, but I mean, even if, you know, you didn't count today, you know, I mean, I thought he was absolutely fabulous. And, you know, maybe I may show up in a Girardi jersey next year.
Whoa!
For you. Good for you.
Well, you know, Eddie, I always like the guys under the radar, you know, not the stars, the Eddie Johnstones and Larry Melnick, who played a couple of years for them. I like Larry too, back in the mid 80s. And I always root for guys like that, and Sauer and Girardi, and probably two of my favorite players right now. So,
yeah, the heart and soul guys. You know,
absolutely,
guys
absolutely, because that's what really makes the team go.
Yep,
got it.
I agree with you. And just to I've said this on previous shows, Stahl and Girardi got contracts this year, big contracts. And a lot of times you see, especially in New York, guys get contracts, pay raises, and disappear and get. Decline in their play. Both these guys stepped up their game, and that says a lot to look at the character of those guys.
Yeah. And one
Really
quick
before, it's okay, we're running short on time. I just want to say good night to everyone. Thank you guys so much for listening this season. It's been a lot of fun. There's a lot more to come over the summer, so don't go away. We'll be right.
Yeah.
We will be back.
We will be back. It doesn't end
all
yet.
All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys Monday, May 2nd at 8 o'clock. Okay. Sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
Okay, guys. What do you think about the Drury situation with him returning and with the C? And
I think they got to buy him out.
Okay.
I think they're going to buy him out.
Yeah, and I really get that feeling now. The last few games, he averages about 6-7 minutes per game, and I think the writing is on the wall for him. And I that's another issue I think's got to be addressed with they got it sort of the even though I'm sure they've been depending more with Drury out most of the year with Callahan and Dubinsky, the leadership has to sort of flip over to the younger players on the team now. It's their team. And I just hope that Drury is bought out. But you never know the way things work at MSG.
Yeah.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> It's a sideshow, that's for sure.
Guys, listen, it was a great season again. Great show again.
Paul.
Great hanging with everyone. All of the
and I
want to
thank
Panthers
you
again,
crowd. Paul. Paul, I also want to thank you for inviting me to a lot of games, man.
No problem, Eddie. It's my pleasure. And, there'll be more. And I told you that day, when Jimmy had come in earlier in the season, I was stuck at work that day. I think that was right before Thanksgiving, right, Jim? Wasn't that a Calgary game you came into?
Yes. Eddie and I went to that game.
Yeah, and I couldn't get out of work early, and I couldn't make it that game. But hopefully next year, and I'll be able to make when you come in. Unfortunately, a few weeks ago too, I was tied up. I couldn't make it. I had things with my kids, and although Marcy thinks there was a stalker after me, that's why I didn't go to the party. Me and Eddie talked about it that night. So.
He loves his drama. He likes to be mysterious. I like
it. But, guys, anyway, another great season, and happy Easter to you and your families, and we'll talk real soon.
Same to you,
okay.
Paul. We'll talk to you soon.
You.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Bye. All right, well, that wraps it up, my friend. Great season.
Yes.
Looking forward to
yes.
the summer. We'll have fun, and hopefully everybody sticks with us.
Oh, they will. They have to. They have to. They got no other choice.
I like the fact that we're getting new people every week, new people that really participate, like tonight we had Catherine Aluzzi here, and she's like, oh, I got to come back and do this again. This is a lot of fun, so it's good. Glad.
Okay. Yes, very good.
All right.
Good. So, all right, brother, man.
Good time for me. I'll talk to you in a few days.
Okay. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye.